Isn't it great to be a Christian? Amen. It's been a great week. It's also been a trying week. When you serve the Lord, devil's going to put a Goliath in front of you continually. Amen. And sometimes we get in the flesh at times, and I call out to everybody, hey, I need prayers. And I know you guys are going to pray for me. Because when you're in the heat of a battle, you need somebody. Aaron and Moses helped hold Moses' hand up. Aaron and Aaron. They held his hand up, and sometimes we need that as Christians. Reach out and yell, hey, I need some help. Don't be afraid, amen? I'm going to read scripture first, then we're going to start. Lord's put this on my heart 3 weeks ago. Didn't preach about it yet. Didn't have the opportunity. I'm sorry that Dave's not feeling good. We're going to pray for him. Lift up Jamie up. He's preaching right now somewhere else, I believe in Harrisville. Well, as we stand, we're going to go to chapter 5 in 2 Corinthians. And you'll know why I'm reading this. Very familiar verse. But I just want to be able to really bring it up to speed, as in, what's it mean to us in our daily walk? Does God bring things to us as we're doing, as we're typing, as we're driving, whatever we're doing? Is God enlightening us in Scripture? One verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this atmosphere. Thank you so much for the Word of God. We ask you right now to anoint the ones that's come out this morning, Lord. Maybe it's listening by radio, maybe by car. Be with Jamie, be with Dave as well, Lord God, and be with me, Lord God, as I break the bread of life, Lord. Anoint my mind, my heart, and my lips. Can't do this without the anointing. Go with me in Christ Jesus' name, I do pray, and amen. You can be seated. I'm going to tell you what brought this to my mind is, Kane and I had went camping, and we come back, and, you know, we're trying to unload everything, and Candy yells at me. He says, hey, why don't you go downstairs and get something out of the freezers? Okay? You don't think nothing about it, right? Until the Lord starts working with you. So I go downstairs, like a good husband, right? And the light don't come on. I've got a light bulb that automatically comes on. So sometimes it's repositioned wrong. I don't hit it right. Don't come on. Don't think much about it. But when I open the freezer, there's no light. Now, again, this is not about me. It's not about Candy. When someone opens your heart, is there light? So I open the other freezer. Because when we got married, we had two freezers. We didn't throw them away. We just kept them. No light. So what do I do? What's wrong? I'm going to the receptacle or the power, right? It's been flipped. You see the little red thing? It's been flipped. Nothing else has been flipped but the freezers. Both plugged in. In one outlet. Whose fault? Mine. I wired the house. What did I say? I'm going to get to that. But just go ahead and plug it in. I didn't get to that. What are we doing in our Christian walk that we're not getting to? We're going to put it on a shelf somewhere. I didn't know that there was no power to it. And it's been mentioned this week. Do you remember Samson about his hair, right? And when it was cut off, he didn't even know that he lost his power. He didn't know God wasn't with him anymore. Do we know at times when our light's not lit? Until we what? Check the inside. Go to the power. The power source is who? God. Amen? I thought I was doing everything correctly. You can't serve two masters, right? You hate the one, love the other, despise the one, cling to the other. Can't serve God and mammon. The word mammon don't necessarily mean man. It means man's things. It means whatever taking your eyes off the Lord, that's what you're serving. If you only come here an hour a week, don't read your Bible, who are you serving? You can answer that question. And you know the answer to it. But why do we do that? We get some more of the world in us. So as soon as the breaker was off and it was flipped, how does that mean anything to me? I need to go to prayer. When I know the light's not in me, when I know something's wrong with me, when I know that if I need to witness to somebody and I say, well, I can't witness to them for whatever reason because there's sin in my life. There's sin in the camp. Take Achan, for example. They could not win. Joshua could not win. Why? Because there was sin in the camp. Achan, they still went to war. You could still try to witness for Jesus, but if there's sin in your life, it's not going to come out well. God's word will not go out void. That is a true statement. You got to get the sin out of your life. So I've got two freezers. Full of stuff. What do we have in our life? We got a lot of stuff. Sometimes we carry a lot of baggage. We need to leave it at the altar. We need to leave it in our prayer closet. We need to leave it and quit picking it back up. Because what happens? It winds up stinking, correct? It does. And Isaiah chapter 65, verse 5, which say, this is God talking, stand by thyself, come not near me. Wonder why? Because sin stinks. For God says, I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all day. You need to get the sin out of your life. How do you do that? Repent of it. How do you repent of it? Ask Jesus Christ to help you. Repent of your sin. So the food was spoiled, molded, an awful sight. First, I'm thinking about how much money, you know, the first thing, fleshly. All the time and energy candy had put in stocking the freezers up. I was sad. But second, what? I'm going to have to take care of this stuff, right? You can't load the garbage up and then take it away, right? You're going to have to get rid of it. So I grabbed a large garbage bag, and I took it with me, and I loaded the bucket of the tractor up. 6 foot, I think. Loaded it full. Pizzas, and chicken livers. Man, it was stinking. It was still in plastic, right? But it was stinking. That's just like sin in our life. It stinks. But we want to still hold on to it. Why is that? Because someone else is doing it. Someone else is eating it. It doesn't matter. We can't go with the majority because the majority is going the way of the world. Even in churches, like I said Wednesday night, the devil could send you to hell from the pew just as much as he could send you to hell out there. Either we're going to abide by Jesus Christ or we're not. So again, I get on top in one of my gardens up on top of the hill. I start taking the boxes out, ripping them open. Can I put the garbage where? In the bag. Throwing the rest down. Again, this stuff's stinking. And I'm thinking that the containers, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we let things creep in. you know, we backslide on the Lord. Why? Because we're tired. We don't want to read. We don't want to listen to this song or that song. We want to listen to something in a feel-good song. We want to listen to an old country song because it makes us feel good in the flesh. But we don't need to do that. We need to stand up for Christ. Again, I started ripping the boxes open, started seeing mold. That reminded me of what? Leprosy. What's leprosy remind you of? Sin. Starts out small. One is spiritual, one is physical. Let's go to Leviticus. Going to chapter 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have a skin of his flesh arising, a scab or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of the flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought into Aaron the priest, or unto of his sons the priest. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of the flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. If you got sin in your life and it's like leprosy, he went to the priest. They went to the priest. Where do we need to go? Jesus Christ. We need to continue to do that because as we're living in his flesh, we're going to continue to sin. But I'm not saying we need to recognize sin. When I'm doing this, I'm recognizing everything that I just read to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Christ became sin. Okay? He didn't say he became a white lie. He didn't become an adulteress. He became that sin. He became the act of that. That's a big difference of someone just saying, well, he went out and stole. He became the act of that. That in this individual, Jesus Christ, knew no sin, but was put with the transgressors. For who? For us. And you say leprosy won't kill you, but left untreated and causes serious health complications that will you die from. James chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But every man is tempted when he's driven away of his own lust and enticed. Then when the lust hath conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. These are brethren, these individuals that are saved. These are believers. And I thought about, you know, about Christ being sin and how it represented sin and how that in Exodus when they blot and the blood shall be to you a token. This was pre-sought. I mean, this was already in the play. It was a token upon the house where you are. When I see the blood, we know the song, I'll pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel, the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of the house until morning. What would happen if they go out from under the blood? They die. If that was a token, if that was a preset of what's happening today, there's people that there's going to be a great walk. There's going to be a great falling away. For the Lord himself will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel, and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come unto your house to smite you. Stay under the blood of Jesus Christ. Abide with him. Again, I've said no man could serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. We need to keep that in mind. And we know the devil is a master of lies. He's a father of lies. We've seen that from the Garden of Eden, all the way through life here. How many times has he lied to you and made you stumble? How many times that we, again, James chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, we're enticed by that. Why? Because we give entertainment to that. We do those things. We should hold fast to the faith that's in us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Stick to the cross. Stay to the cross. It is hard at times, absolutely. But we need to stick to what we believe in. And that's the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, once said by a preacher, says, he was talking about the father of lies, which is the devil. And he says, something is broken. How can something be broken and be right twice a day? Thank you, sir. A clock. It's broken, but it's right twice a day. So, well, which one is more deceiving, a clock 5 minutes wrong or 5 hours wrong? You would say, well, of course one is 5 hours wrong, because you would say, hey, what time is it? I could tell that's wrong. But not so. The one is 5 minutes wrong because either you miss your plane, you miss your bus, or you miss heaven. Because you say you always have time to make heaven your home. Not right now. I'm going to sit in my pew. I've got tomorrow. We're not promised of tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Harden not your hearts. That is in Hebrews. He was telling the Hebrew people, do not harden your heart like your fathers did. The devil is a deceiver. 5 minutes late could rob you of blessing or eternal life. And you say, well, that's a little rough, Thou. It's in your book as well as it's in mine. And we talk about Christ leaving the 99 and going after that one that was lost, right? That was in the flock, that was in the fold, that was lost, and he went after him. And you say, well, Christ is coming after me. I could just stay where I'm at. Okay, I'll say that for a second, but let's look at Jesus Christ does not know, nor the angels, nor any one of you or me, when Christ is going to come out and get us. We have no idea. So, as Christ is going to go after that one that took away from the flock, and all of a sudden God says, hey, Jesus, go get my children. What happened to that one? Jesus is going to tell God, hey, wait a minute. He's going to stop and go get his church. He's going to go get his children. We need to, these altars are here for a reason. We don't need to see that carpet as new as it is today. It needs to be worn out just like these paths are worn out. Why aren't these altars used like they used to be? You got to remember, I come from a Catholic church. Every pew had a place to kneel. That's a true statement. You kneeled when they told you. You kneeled when you didn't sometimes, they tell you. I mean, it was just automatic. It wasn't heartfelt. It wasn't spirit-felt. It wasn't faith-felt. You can't tell somebody what to do. This is a choice. And you got more choices after you're saved than before you're saved, because the devil already has you. So why is he working with you? He's not working with you, because he already knows you're one of his. And we need to be spiritually awakened. We need to be on fire for the Lord. And in Ephesians 5, it talks about, wherefore he saith, awaken, thou sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You know, I was hunting yesterday morning. I was tired, but I still went. How many people say I'm staying home from church, but still go hunting? I say that to say this. I get there before daylight, sitting in that blind, oh, I'm spread out there, I'm looking, got everything ready. And all of a sudden, I couldn't hear him walking, but I see his shadow. Man, they look big. There's three of them. I could hear them chomping. I could hear that. It goes my mind, okay? What we see is not always what's out there. It's deceitful. It's deceiving me because I'm anxious. Because I want to shoot that. Because a week ago, I saw antlers, but it still was dark. So I'm waiting. I said, Lord, let it get light. What did I just say? Lord, let it get light. The light revealed what was in front of me. Right? Until you get in the light, God can't reveal the sin in your life, the sin in my life. We need to be able to see things as the Lord would see things. Is that hard at times? Absolutely, because the flesh gets in the way. But what was out before me was three little bitty doe. No bucks at all. They wasn't big at all when the light hit them. Was I disappointed? Yeah. But the Lord showed me that, though. I'd take the showing to the Lord anytime over anything like that. I want to see what the Lord has for me. No matter what situation I'm in, I want to be able to see it. Because if I need corrected, I won't be corrected. I do not want to miss heaven because of the flesh gets in me. In Luke, watch therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, we've been talking about this last couple of Wednesdays when Paul had taught about, either we're talking about the rapture or we're talking about the gathering of the church. We don't know exactly what time it is. Nobody does, because it also says in Matthew, watch therefore, you know not what hour the Lord doeth come. So again, we have no idea when the Lord's coming, so why aren't we ready? Because we get slothful. We get slothful. Just like the slothful servant in the talents. God don't give non-believers talents for him, does he? He gives talents to these individuals because it says in Matthew 25, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. It's like what? When the gentleman went away and gave five talents, two talents, one talent. The five gained five more talents. The two gained two more talents. But the servant, which was one of his, gave one. What did he do with it? Nothing. He buried it. What are you doing with your talent? He's giving you a talent. We need to be using it. Again, we preach about this all the time, Matthew 28. Preaching, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We need to be doing about our Father's business and stay on fire for the Lord. Because if you're not on fire, where are you at? You know where the answer's at for that. Again, Revelation, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Keep his garments. 1 Peter, wherefore, gird up thy loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but us watch and be sober. We need to be on fire for the Lord. And I don't understand that we've got so complacent in our daily walk with God. We need to be on our knees at times. We need to be praying at times. Pray without ceasing. It's in the book. It's in the Bible. We need to continue in the way of righteousness. This is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Colossians, continue to pray and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And again, James, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And we've mentioned it already in Hebrews. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you evil of heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. We need to stay up close to the fire. We don't need to stay in the fire like Peter did when he had, going to crucify Christ. They took him into the after they arrested him, and Peter stood set by the fire, but he was sitting by the wrong fire. You could be warm, but with the wrong fire. You need to be warm in the Jesus Christ's fire. You need to be kindled up, ready to go up. At all times, it's not Sunday, I don't need to be praying, or I don't need to be reading. You need to be ready all the time. That's what the Bible tells us. And there's another story, and I listen to, I think a lot of people listen to different preachers, and they have certain stories, and, what you're seeing today, and the reason I'm going to talk about this is, the blood of Jesus Christ, he became sin. He became that, whatever I was taking out of that box, whatever I was taking out of that bag, he became that. That's hard to understand. He became sin that knew no sin. And when we preach about from one end of the book to the other, I believe it's in Psalms 119, the sum of the word. It's not S-O-M-E, it's S-U-M, the sum of the word, all of the word. Okay, you can't pick and choose what you don't like, you can't pick and choose, but these two gentlemen were picking what they was choosing, what they did and did not like. Now, they came to the pastor, and they said, Pastor, we don't think you need to be pastor anymore. What would you do? What would you think if someone says, hey, you don't think you need to be here anymore? I might get a little abrasive, but this gentleman didn't. This pastor didn't. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll go to the Lord in prayer. And we'll pray. I'll pray about it. And next Wednesday, when we come back, we'll talk about it. And them two guys said, okay. They thought, okay, this is going to happen. Well, the pastor come back and he said, saw them two gentlemen after service, and he said, did you talk to the Lord about us? He said, I sure did. I went to the Lord in prayer. And the God said he never knew you two. Until you're going to pick a mote out of my eye or anybody else's eye, check your own mote. We need to stay in the Word. I don't know if you guys got that. I don't know if, did you hear it? The God didn't know these two individuals. They was going to church, though. They was trying to tell the pastor what to do, what to preach, what not to preach. I preached one funeral in my life. And they told me, you can't bring this up, you can't bring that up. I said, we need to find a different pastor then, preacher then, because I'm not going to. Until I could bring up Jesus Christ, they said, okay, we'll let that in. I said, I have no idea how the Lord's going to lead me when I get up there. I'm going to tell you, I'll give you scripture that I'm reading. After that, I'm not responsible, the Lord is. Don't matter. And that's the only one I preached. I can't preach them into heaven, neither could Dave. Nobody else could take them to heaven, only through the blood of Jesus Christ that knew no sin, that became sin for us. He is the only way to heaven. You need to stay at the foot of the cross. We're going to make it home. You know, You know, I prepared for this one because it was 3 weeks ago. And when Dave texted me last night, the Lord already had one for me again. But I don't want to intertwine them. But what road are you on? And I'll preach on that tonight. But what road are we on? Are we serving the Lord with all 100% of us? Because he gave 100% of himself. He didn't give 99. Some churches only preach 90-some percent of Christ. They don't preach the whole 100%. Some of it looks good, but it's only 90% of Christ. It's not 100% of Jesus Christ. He's God in the flesh and God in man. And we need to understand Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. The only way. And I now end with this. As what they're going to continue, people's not going to like what we preach. People's not going to like what we teach. And by the way, Jason did a great job today. You guys helped fill that because what was needed was everybody's that spoke up. Because we need to that. That helps edify the church. It helps us grow as a church. But just by saying that, we need to stay on fire for the church. He wants to see us. He says, what did he say? Be ready, be sober, be watching. Why aren't we watching? And we know, I don't do prophecy. Are you watching? Are you looking for Christ? We need to. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you went a little bit back on the Lord. I don't know what road you're on, or if you're on the right road, wrong road. I don't know. You're betwixt. Between the two. I don't know. But we need to stay on fire for God. We're going to continue to preach the gospel. I remember what Tim Bell said. I'm going to preach the gospel. And either God takes me home. Either they'll throw dirt on me. Or you could bring me cookies in jail. We can't back up on this. We can't back up on this. Even though it is hard. But we always got to stay at the foot of, we got to stay with Christ. We can't walk away from Christ. You can't play the hokey pokey song. I got a left foot in and a left foot out. You can't do that. Because that's what people's doing. I want to be a little bit in, a little bit out. But as soon as I hear something, as soon as 911, 9/11 happened, I'm going to run the church. What happened after that? Went downhill. COVID. I'm not going to go to church because of COVID. COVID's been over. Still, people's not coming to church. They become complacent. I could watch it on YouTube. I could watch it online. That stuff's good for individuals who can't make it to church. But you can't put faith with your feet and get out and help edify the church. There's something missing. We need to help edify each other, lift each other up. We all have issues, we all have baggage, but Jesus Christ is the answer. Because we have a song. If you need to pray, the altar is always open.